Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
What's going on, everybody? Mitch Michaels, Pamela Maldonado, Zachary Cohn. We'll check in with you on the Monte Carlo Masters. Now the Tennis Bets is here for the clay court season. We're on YouTube, we're on Tennis Bets Twitter, and we're on the tennis.com Facebook, as well as on all your podcast platforms. But just like that, the Sunshine Devil is in the rear view and we are on the road to Roland Garros, and we're on to a new surface. So that's going to bring some fun, some challenges. We've already seen that in this tournament. Pamela Maldonado, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking a little bit of a break from Masters season, but now, what's your initial reaction to the start of clay court season?
That Sinner's dominance has translated to clay court. He just looks like he hasn't skipped a beat. He's picking up right where he left off, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing the rest of the tournament to see how well he does.
Yeah, he's 23-1 this season, a dominant win over Sebastian Korda. Zico, we had to get a little weather break in here too while we start the show, because it's like raining now in Monte Carlo. They're just about to finish up the day. Last match is on court, but there's been a few upsets. There's been surprises, but we've seen the top players. I think it's also good to point out too the reset of when you get to a new surface, there's certain players that are just better on it.
Yeah, this is an interesting tournament. Like, you know, you turn to clay after just such a long time on hard courts. I do think something that I think is interesting, and I kind of think it's gone back to last year or the year before, I do think that power is starting to win out on clay a little more than we used to see. I think that it used to be, you know, a grinding surface, but I do think, you know, big servers are having some success on it now. Like, you saw Popperin beat Andre Rublev. So I do think that we're seeing a little bit more of a trend with, you know, even including, you know, Taylor Fritz having a few runs last year on clay. I think there are guys that have power now and they can play on this clay. And it's not all about, you know, the top spin heavy shots that we thought it was, you know, heading into last year.
Yeah, we got the scoreboard at the bottom of the screen, all of today's matches, so you can follow along there. It's, you know, certain players, I mean, Tsitsipas comes to mind. He was looking very, you know, inconsistent on hard court. This is his best surface. He's going for a third title, so he bounces back. Matchups are playing, but also there's confidence, too, that has to do with this, Pam. A player that comes to mind for me, oddly enough, is Hubie Hurkacz, because he kind of found himself a little bit on the clay last week, and, you know, he's keeping it going. So sometimes when you find momentum, it can kind of translate to other surfaces.
I also love how he did that interview where he was talking about practicing with Casper Ruud. Hey, I did 1 hour of clay and now I'm a clay court god. Like, it just kind of, it's transcended beyond confidence. Like, he actually learned something, a thing or two, and now he's even having a better performance of 2024 so far than Casper has. So we'll see if that can kind of continue on.
And he gets him next round, which is fascinating too. Two friends playing, it's always a fun dynamic. And I would say Zico for Hubie, he kind of has nothing to lose. Like, everyone's expecting him to lose that match to his friend, so he can go in with kind of an open mind.
Yeah, although I will say, when I was doing my pre-tournament futures, I like really wanted to find a way to bet Casper just because he is so good on clay. And I think I saw him at like 35-1 because he would have had to go through Alcaraz and Djokovic. But with no Alcaraz, he probably has to feel like he has a decent shot of, you know, either making a final or winning this tournament.
Well, I want to get, that's a very good point. I want to get to a lot of topics, Alcaraz, Djokovic, Roland Garros futures on the back end, but I do want to do some bookkeeping from last week. Zico, got to bring this up too. The Danimal is just unstoppable right now. I don't know what got into her other than maybe the last dance of, you know, this might beat the 98 Bulls at this point because she can't lose.
Yeah, I don't know what she's going to do, because I know she could say she's going to retire no matter what, like as many times as she wants to. But if she keeps winning and she becomes a top 10 player, and, you know, even if she puts together a run at a Grand Slam, it's going to be really hard for her to walk away when she's playing the best tennis of her life. I mean, like you said, she has been dominant. I mean, it's not just, you know, close matches. She's beating some of the top players in the world in straight sets. It's just something to see. I've had fun watching it. But yeah, going from hard courts to clay, no hangover after the win in Miami. I do think now that she's probably a top 10 player in the world and has to be taken seriously at every major we have coming up.
Yeah, up to 15, has been in the top 10. This definitely looks like the best version. She's redlining, Pam. And yeah, going surface to surface, winning a title, winning the biggest title of your life, and then just going to another surface and winning that. I can't put into words how underrated that is.
You were talking about Hooper Hurkacz having a lot of confidence right now. Well, she's right there too. And if you watch her style of play, she's playing a lot more aggressive. But because also she's been winning so many tournaments and matches, that confidence kind of comes easy. So she can take a lot more risk, have a lot more power, and just go for those like high risk, low reward shots. You know what I'm trying to say, because it's just to go through, but she's making it look easy. And I don't know. I still feel like she is going to like stick to, no, I'm retiring. I'm good. Because that's just like, I don't know. She's been gung-ho about that. I believe her.
Yeah, there's a level that she's always been fearless, but this just kind of puts things into perspective for her. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch somebody redline. And, you know, she's lost 2 sets, I think, in the last month. So that's where her level of tennis at. The other big story from last week, got to bring this up. Ben Shelton wins the Houston clay court title. Next week, he will be the top-ranked American. He's going to pass Taylor Fritz in the rankings. So, Zico, the future is now for Shelton, who, looking at the schedule, doesn't have a lot of points to defend till the U.S. Open. So there's a real opportunity for him to keep climbing.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to what I said before. Like, I thought Shelton was going to have a tough transition to clay because I do think, you know, point construction and just variety is something that he's lacking in his game. But he was able to win that tournament with just brute force and power. He was hitting people off the court, even in slower conditions. I know it was a little faster than U.S. clay is different, but I thought Tiafoe would have a pretty good shot to beat him in that final. And Shelton looked like the better player for most of the match. And, yeah, looks like a dangerous player on clay because, I think you can win with power on these courts now.
Mm-hmm. And like Madrid could be a good surface for him. But like I was in January, I posted a 2024 tennis predictions, and I had as my number 3 tennis prediction was that Shelton will win a Masters 1000. However, I had that on hard court, but I'm very much of you like, hey, he looked really good. But I think when you start playing some of these better players, he has played Carlos Alcaraz a couple of times. Like all of those are lessons. Like you get a quick learning lesson in you start out as a freshman in college. Well, now you're already a senior because of your playing some of the best players. He's improved on his aggression. He's improved on his timing. He's improving on his return game. All of that, along with the power that he already has, is like a recipe to win a big time title sometime this year.
Yeah, he's been a pro less than 2 years and he's already getting to this spot. So that's really remarkable. A lot of opportunities. Love that point about Madrid. It's where Isner said it was his favorite court to serve, as one of those outer courts. So there's a lot of opportunities for him. Let's get into the Monte Carlo Masters, though, here on Tennis Bets. And I guess we can start for a lot of different areas. The unfortunate side of it, too, is Zico. There's no Carlos Alcaraz, a late-minute withdrawal from Monte Carlo. And again, this was not a major injury. Had some problems there with the arm, but says he's going to be okay. This is precautionary. So what was your reaction? You know, unfortunate in a lot of ways. Also unfortunate when we're 2 days into the event. We're already, in your case, probably previewing some matchups.
Yeah, I was a little bummed. I didn't hear. Did he say it was something that was bothering him in Miami, or is it something that he injured in practice only?
I don't think he really specified. I definitely don't think there was a major injury. So, and it sounds like he could have played through it if the stakes were major level, but hard to know exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I was bummed, though, because I did think that we were possibly going to get another Alcaraz-Djokovic matchup, and I think that I've been wanting to see it for a while now, and I do think that, like, we need to see Alcaraz win a Masters 1000 on clay to kind of ramp up for Roland Garros, where, you know, there is pressure on him to win his first one. I do think people are expecting it. I think that he probably will win, but I do think that we need to see him healthy.
Yeah, and Pam, before I toss it to you, Zico brings up a good point. It's a weird time for the clay court, also futures markets. We'll get to that in a second, but Alcaraz is the slight betting favorite over Djokovic, so I do think that there is, you know, people that want to see him get that title on the road to Roland Garros and kind of justify where he is right now, because he is the betting favorite over a man that's got 24 Grand Slams.
Well, first off, that's asinine, but also let's not discount Rafa Nadal. He will be coming back. We've had this conversation before. Nadal will be coming back, and he is going to leave it all out on the table for potentially his final French Open. Thirdly, I think all of us had this impression that when you saw Carritos come out of the gate back in 2018, 2019, whatever it was, when he was 17, 18 years old, we all had the impression that maybe the clay court was going to be his surface. I'm no longer under that belief. The slow hard is definitely where he's proven himself, and I think he still needs to prove himself, as Zico mentioned, on clay court. And so I would not make him the betting favorite for the French Open by any stretch right now. I'm not even sure that I would put Djokovic up in there. I think Sinner is probably like a little bit of a mismatch at the moment, based off of his progression. Zverev is very interesting to me. And I mean, I think there's like a lot more players this time around, especially if Nadal ends up not playing. I think it could open up the door.
Yeah, there's so many different factors, right? You have Nadal, who's coming off of, well, what is he going to look like when he actually plays? Sinner, this is the one surface where we're not sure. Djokovic hasn't won a title yet. So we're going to get to those futures. But yeah, the numbers are very interesting, I'll say.
Even that Djokovic hasn't won a title. It's that Djokovic has not looked like Djokovic for like the great.
He hasn't played.
Yeah, that's another point. But you know, he's still alive, and we can kind of segue into that because Djokovic wins his first round match against Roman Safiu and really does, you know, do a number on him, and gets Musetti next, who beat him in this very tournament last year. But Zico, Djokovic's clay season. Now, I know there's much ado about his future, his longevity, the top of the sport, but just in this section of the calendar, with all these points to defend to keep his number one ranking, how do you assess Djokovic's clay season starting off?
Well, I thought he looked good against Roman Safiu, and I do think this is a tournament that has kind of gotten the best of him lately. He has won it before. I think he's won it twice, but it's still one that probably weaker compared to his other Masters 1000s on clay, and I think we always kind of expect him to win Rome. So I do think he's going to be fine on the red stuff over these next couple of weeks. I just think that I kind of think that the younger guys have passed him a little bit. Like, I do think, you know, Wimbledon, I would expect Djokovic to win, but I do think on clay, I would give a better shot to Alcaraz and Sinner. I'm with Pam. I think that Sinner is probably the player that I would be most interested in betting. I told you yesterday, I took him at +450 to win French Open. I do think that number is going to get worse, but I do think obviously, you know, you can't count out Djokovic. And even if he does play, you know, Alcaraz at some point in that tournament, there's going to be nightmares from last year.
Yeah,
well, we talked about Djokovic and like first off, he got rid of his coaching changes. And I think it's because, yeah, you said it perfectly. He has been passed up by these players. What has he lost back-to-back matches on? Players with intense power that he has no answer for. I don't know if getting a new coach is going to fix that. I don't know if Djokovic has it in him to find, he's like the mastermind when it comes to adapting in this game. Not being a professional poker player myself, I don't know how you can combat that. And maybe clay is the surface where he can.
Well, good point. One being that he's got pressure on him for this clay court season. This is points to defend after winning the title. So that's another change in it. And Pam, I don't know that I necessarily agree or disagree. I just know that he needs a spark in his mind. Mm-hmm. So whether or not this works, he needs to try something, because this is, whether it's a year, a month, a couple years, the last go of, I'm at the top of the game. I'm still number one. I got one last go for winning Grand Slams. So I need to change something, because complacency is going to just get him passed by these young guys that are coming.
If here I am in April, still in shock that we haven't even seen him win anything. And like I said, not just even lose, get destroyed, honestly, to Carlos Alcaraz and to Jannik Sinner. Multiple times. It all started at Wimbledon. Like, the way that Carritos, I was like, oh, he's dead in the water in that first set. And then he comes back and he puts a smashing on Djokovic on his surface.
Yeah.
Ooh, that still stings me. Imagine Djokovic, who hasn't been able to recover in what's almost a year now from that match. And then the matches that to follow.
There's a lot to be decided on the clay court season. And I love that he said, you know, look, the goal is the end of the road, the Roland Garros level, and it's all bonus from here. This has been, Zico, a little bit of a house of horrors for him. I say that, and his winning percentage is still very good at my Carlos Berkeley. But how he ramps up his intensity and how he looks, as Pam said, against some of the best is what I'm going to be looking for. Not that he necessarily wins these titles, but how does his level match up as the competition increases?
Yeah, and I think Musetti will be a really good test for him, because he's firing on all cylinders right now. I think he's playing some of the best tennis of his career of his last two matches. I know he's really inconsistent, but when Musetti's playing well, he's a really good barometer for where your level is.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. and the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
So more thoughts on Monte Carlo. There's some ups and downs. I think we should probably start with there'll be a new champ, Andrei Rublev, out to Popprin. So he loses his title bid early. And he's a passionate guy, Pam, but the emotions were getting the better of him again. And this hasn't been a good stretch for Andrei Rublev. You hate to see it, but it looked like he came unglued yet again against Alexei Popprin, who's quietly putting together a resume of some big wins.
I think ever since that incident that he had a few tournaments ago, which tournament was it?
Dubai.
Yeah. Dubai, ever since he had that, he hasn't been the same since. And you can give your apology and you can get your he was fined and then he ended up getting that fine reduced. All of that can happen and you still just like it messes with it's become mental. Rublev, his problem has always been mental. This is why we see him blow up on court. So now it's just like maybe he's reserving himself on court and trying to so not to put himself in that situation again. So it's messing with like other aspects of his game, but he's just a player that you don't want to be touching right now, like in any form. Like he should be winning these matches easily. He's a complete fade.
He is. Hey, what's going on there, Kenny? Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Nothing much. I think we're talking a little too much about Andrei Rublev's temper, honestly. I don't know if that's it because this guy has had a temper for, pretty much his whole career, dating back to the Challengers. I'm just assuming we're talking about Andrei Rublev.
That's good. What do you think if it's not the temper, and this is a good way to get you involved here, what do you think is the cause here? Because something's obviously wrong. He's had three straight tournaments that have been disastrous.
I think part of it is that he's not that good on clay. I think he's had plenty of clay results in his career, but like Jannik Sinner, who had a nice win today, it's not really his preferred surface. We saw him go out at the first round of the French Open a couple of years ago. He had the loss to Cilic, which was shocking. I mean, the thing with these top guys is that it's not like the loss to Alexei Popperin in a vacuum is a bad loss. Alexei Popperin's a good tennis player. He can play on clay. He's had very good results against top players. He beat Taylor Fritz. We said the same things about Taylor Fritz when he lost to Alexei Popperin that we're saying about Andrei Rublev now. What's going on with this guy? Right. But I do feel like there's a lot of parity in the top 50. And to get to that level of a top five player, of a top 10 player, you need to be consistently avoiding these issues, these half stances. That's why we're talking about Jannik Sinner in the same way we are right now, because he hasn't really had those hiccups. He hasn't had those bad losses. It's very hard to beat this guy, and his floor is so high. So I don't know if there's necessarily a lot wrong with him. Three match losing streak is, it's correct. He's lost to good players in all of these matches, but I do feel as though there are better players than him now. There are more better players than him now than there were last year or 2 years ago. That's just the nature of how the tour works. And what we're talking about with Stefanos Tsitsipas is it has passed him by a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, look, I like I said, I think that Rublev hasn't always been – he's been a very consistent player. He's made so many quarterfinals of Grand Slams. But he's never really been a guy that's ever gotten better after he got to the top 10. So that's why I'm not really shocked that he's all of a sudden losing in these first rounds. He's losing more matches. Yeah. Because he peaked. He can't get any better. Like that's
his serve isn't good enough either.
The second serve is kind of a liability out there. And I do think that, look, also Monte Carlo, put that in a vacuum. Because this small, now the way it's going with all these expanded draws, first and second round matchups are way harder than they would be at any other tournament. So,
well, I also think that both can be true. One, that his lack of mental strength capacity can really hinder his game. He already lacks the weapons, and then his mentality on top of that is going to be like it's going to compound the whole situation to make it worse.
Yeah, very good point there, Pam. We had some picks today. I want to get to. It wasn't the best day from the panel. I think I'm putting it a little mildly, but Zico's still alive. Still have an opportunity.
Here's a break point when we come back from the rain.
Second rain delay, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's on Nadal plus four and a half games. So that's what we're going to go with here.
He's no Panini. I don't know. Bobby Affini, the Rindley God.
Did you think this was Nadal and I spelled this wrong?
Honestly, this was like kind of a fade on Runa. I just thought that he hasn't played a singles match on clay since last summer. I know that he's playing doubles with Taylor Fritz here, kind of has gotten used to the courts, but I thought there was a good chance he would come out a little cold. I mean, he didn't look good in Miami, so I kind of thought this was a good spot to take Nadal, who had won four of his last five. And yeah, just the first set kind of unraveled, and then he kind of kept it going when he came out to serve for the second.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Zeke, why have you here? And I just wanted to make sure I had this right. You hustle a lot with a lot of what you do. And there's there like a tennis academy? Did I have this right?
I'm in negotiations with the Murata Glue Academy about buying a shirt from them, but their website does not function, so I'm not capable of doing it right now.
I was like, how did he pick against Holger when I'm trying to get him to outwork his potential?
I'm trying to motivate him. If I pick against him, he wants to win even more.
Very smart. Very smart.
I can't believe you can't get a shirt. I mean, it's like you want to support the academy, you know?
We are emailing because their website does not open on my computer or phone.
You're emailing.
Can you get me a medium Z code?
Me and Patrick, we're directly talking about the shirts.
Yeah, make your DM.
Can you get me a medium? I'll send you the address.
I'll try. If they ever answer, I will give you the medium.
Thank you.
So that's pretty good. I had to bring that up because we're all just trying to keep it light here. And look, a fade on Holger, not a bad idea when you want to see what you get. But this is the finalists last year, the champions out. Some opportunities here, to say the least. Kenny, it wasn't your best day, but there's always more days in the docket. So
there's more matches tomorrow that we could talk about. You know, I mean, the timing is very weird because of Monaco, which is basically just France. But you know, I felt really good about these today. I mean, Monfils looked a little tired. I'm not too shocked that happens. It's Daniil Medvedev. The other ones, I am kind of shocked at. I mean, Griekspoor was up early in that match, up a break. Better player on clay. You know, I had a fade on RBA yesterday. That was actually the only loss I had. I had a great day yesterday, but that was it. And RBA is pretty similar to Alex de Minaur in the sense that they don't. You always want to pick out those guys that are a little overpriced on the surface that's not their favorites. That's what I did here with Korda and Griekspoor against de Minaur and Sinner. Sinner, as I've said on this show, a step slower or a notch below on clay. I mean, I don't know. It was a tough one. I don't know what you want me to
say. I think de Minaur is going to get better on clay, though. I think that the changes he's made from last year to this year, you know, upping his serve percentage, his first serve percentage, and kind of just being a little bit better.
But that was the problem with Sinner, right? I mean, Sinner came up on clay. He was good on clay. I think when he played Nadal for the first time on clay, not only at Roland Garros, but I think the next year in Rome, you know, I think everyone was like, oh, he's going to get a shot at Nadal, who's like injured on his best surface. Like I said that. I think a lot of people were like, yeah, this is Sinner's best surface. And then he goes out and he adds the miles an hour to the serve. He adds the pop on his forehand. 3 years ago? And ever since then, he just hasn't been the same on clay. So I think there's a familiarity there, but I don't know if necessarily his game fits it anymore. We saw it happen with Casper Ruud too. Remember Casper Ruud, Mr. Tennis Coach Zico? You know, adding the muscle in the back and the miles an hour on the serve, and that team was hell bent to get him better on a hard court. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't play on clay anymore. He was fine, you know, he was fine, but like, and he actually made it with an Alexander Bublik. What is this draw to the final of Roland Garros? But you know, what was he wasn't Casper anymore. He wasn't going down the Golden Swing and winning all these tournaments. He was just not as he tailored his game to hard court. So that's what happens. It's fun to watch with these tennis players as they progress, how they kind of lose their strengths and then they get them back. So I, you know, Sinner obviously, like Ruud has, can get back to being pretty much Sinner on clay, but I was willing to bet on there being a little bit of a learning curve there or taking a little bit more time. And then like you talk about the way Sinner's priced now, he's priced like the AO champ, and I just haven't seen Sinner be that high floor, unbeatable guy on clay yet because it's pretty new. So
The
difference between Casper Ruud and Jannik Sinner is Darren Cahill.
Might be. The
if we're gonna slander
Casper should hire Cahill.
If we wanna sit here and say Christian Rue's not a good coach, I'm in.
But it brings up a point because we're gonna get. I want to get to the Djokovic match first, but when we get to the French Open stuff, the value bet that Zico made on Sinner is trying to get it before it's gone, before that bridge connects. That he is just the favorite everywhere. This is your last chance to really get that. So. That's why it's gambling. Pam, before, though, we get there, the rematch of Djokovic-Musetti, any lean on this going forward, any things you expect to see in this match? I'm going to flash some gambling numbers, but just thoughts on the rematch from last year.
I mean, it's a very tough situation because we just ended up talking right now. We started the show, we're talking about Novak Djokovic and where he's at. Musetti is a player that always seems to find a way to just, like, irk Djokovic and, like, right out of the gate. So if I had to put, like, a lean on this, I mean, of the few matches that we have tomorrow, I would say that Musetti, like, +4.5 would be a good look. I'm not ready to say that he's going to win and take off a set, but, I mean, that lefty, Djokovic always seems to have problems against Musetti. So for that reason alone, considering the form that he's in, Musetti +4.5 would be the best lean for me.
Yeah, and looking at the numbers, this last one especially, him to win a set against Djokovic is +106, which is not as high as I thought it would be. I know there's, and Zico, you can talk about how these odds work, but there's like a built-in Djokovic rust versus easing into clay court season that I think we're seeing in these Monte Carlo odds for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little conflicted with this match because I do think Musetti is just like a high variance player with the way he swings from the baseline. He just plays like the most aggressive style ever. So I do think, you know, if he's clicking that day and Djokovic is a little bit rusty, I think that there's a chance that he does win a set. I like it at plus money odds. I also, like Pam said, I like the +4.5. You could probably get +5.5 at a decent price too, if you want to protect yourself a little. But I do think this is a match that could give Djokovic a little bit of trouble. It's kind of like facing Roman Safulin if Roman Safulin was playing well.
So what I would actually, I'm looking at the odds now, and the way that I would attack this is probably Musetti to not win the first set, but to cover the game spread in the first set. Because if I'm talking about Djokovic always seems to have problems, well, why does he always seem to have problems against Musetti? Because at least Lorenzo, he does have the mix of ground strokes, drop shots. He can change the pace and the direction. And because of the variety that he has in his game, Djokovic, with the rust that he's coming into this, he never really has the opportunity to settle into rhythm. So because of that, I would say target like the first set probably would be the way that I would attack it rather than covering the full match.
Mm. Kenny, what do you think about this particular match? And any advice you'd have for people that want to play it?
Yeah, I mean, my advice would be just Djokovic beat Roman Safulin, who didn't look good, and we got all these headlines about how he's back. He's dominant on clay. And, you know, I think you have to carry some skepticism that you had prior to the tournament into the first couple of rounds. And I'm always a big believer in, like, you can only be stubborn for so long and make so many excuses for a guy winning. So you have to be open-minded in betting. And I think you have to make sure that you are watching objectively and changing your mind in the tournament. So you're not going to continue to basically fade a guy till he wins the tournament. Cause then you would lose 5 straight bets. But I do feel like, yeah, this is, I think this is a very good play. I think Musetti to win a set. I think he loves playing here. He gets a ton of crowd support. We saw what that did to Francis Tiafoe last year. And, you know, yeah, you know, that's a good thing for Djokovic. Apparently, you know, he loves feeding off the crowd, but it definitely finds him in some big, tough matches. It's not necessarily like when the crowd's against Djokovic isn't winning 6-2, 6-love, right? So, I do feel like those can get interesting, and I think Musetti can disrupt Djokovic a little bit with the wacky way he plays, but we know that he is like a top 20 talent when he's actually playing well, and he just hasn't been playing very well. The only thing that's really worrying to me is that he did not play well in that second set against Feist. He wasn't landing the first serves. He obviously was broken twice trying to serve out the match. That was an issue, and so I'm ultimately probably staying away from this match just because I'm very nervous after watching that Feist match yesterday. But if I had to play it, I would definitely take Musetti to win a set. I think that Djokovic is still going to be a little bit rusty, having not played much over the last couple of months since the Australian Open. So this is also a tournament I want to remind everybody as well, which is a good note, and I'm glad I remembered. that Djokovic, it's always weird for him. He hasn't made the final here since 2015, and he's only made the quarterfinal round twice since then. I mean, he was knocked out yet last year by Musetti, as we know, and then in the second round in 2022 by Alejandro Davidovich-Fokina. He lost to Dan Evans in 2021, yeah. And in the quarters, he lost to Medvedev back when Medvedev was, you know, he actually wasn't as bad as he was on clay the next few years that he was in 2019, yeah. But he wasn't really good on clay. So it's been a weird tournament for him. So that's what I would say. I think that you have to bet on it being a weird tournament for him because it has been the last four times he's been here. And maybe it's just the first clay tournament of the year he usually plays. But, you know, if Dan Evans can beat Djokovic on clay, like, yeah, you know, and no disrespect to Dan Evans, as we all know, I love him, but he's not a great clay player. Then I think Musetti can take a set here. Yeah, I think this is going to be a good match.
Yeah, and the Italian factor, right? Like, what is Djokovic has got an Achilles heel playing Italians maybe this year if he loses this but one.
The only counter to that is that his name in Italian is literally Gamovic. So I don't know.
Okay.
Gioco in Italian is game, right? So it's basically named after Italian, winning Italian tennis games.
All right. Well, we learn something new every day here on this show. We're going to wrap up tennis.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything, so you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
It's fun to watch him in Italy.
That's here with Kenny Ducey, Pamela Maldonado, and Zachary Cohen talking about way too early, or maybe not early enough, Roland Garros futures, and get into Zico's play and just assess the board where we are. Also, a good measuring stick to see where this changes. Zico, first up on the women's side, as of yesterday when I looked at these odds from our friends over at FanDuel, we got Swiatek, Iga at even money. We'll see how much longer that lasts. Sabalenka, Gauff, Ibaka. Yes, and then Andreeva, Halep, and I just listed off the plus 2300s there. So first thoughts on this board. What stands out? What surprises you, Zico?
It always stands out that Andreeva is always right there at the top of the board for every major. We need to see her do it. I mean, I think she's really talented, but like she's always in the 15 to 20 range. It's like the craziest thing ever. But I do think, you know, like these are hard tournaments to bet. Like you're either going to take Iga and suck it up at the plus 100 odds, or I don't know. I don't know what else you're going to do here. I mean, Danielle Collins is off the board, but maybe that's the pick.
I'm going to steal the host chair. I got a great question for you, Zico. Would you rather bet Andreeva to win a slam or Tony Finau to win the Masters? Same thing, almost.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Andreeva's going to win a slam eventually. I just like, we're like 2 years early, I think.
About Tony Finau 8 years ago.
that would be sad.
But this is a board that reeks of we have one clear dominant player, and we're just trying to fill it in around that. And that's why I'm surprised Iga's even money. But this is her surface. I mean, look, three-time champion, probably going to add to that this year and beyond. So not really surprised. I think the other names are just you're trying to see who can maybe heat check, and that's why maybe I am a little surprised that Collins and Vault are way up into this.
Yeah, Iga, it's like this is the one surface where if she is missing with her forehand and just playing really sloppy, she could just go into grind mode and just really wear opponents out where they just can't get the ball by her, start missing shots, and they really just beat themselves, which is why it's almost impossible to beat here. And it's why I'm a little surprised that she's not, you know, better at like Indian Wells.
Yeah, even I mean, 14-1, Rybakina, you can talk me into that being something that's worth a play, given that she's beaten Iga and she can go deep into clay court events. And then, of course, on the men's side, this is the board Pam I was talking to you about. Alcaraz a plus 140 going into this week. Djokovic, Sinner, Nadal plus 470. and it fills out from there. I already know what some people are going to point out to on this board for the value bets, but Pam, thoughts on just what you're looking at here?
I'm looking back right. That's what I'm doing in between the conversation right now, because I'm like, okay, am I like currently talking myself into Yannick Sinner as a buy-in? And I think I am, because at Roland Garros, from what we've seen, is we haven't actually seen him have an opportunity. It is all draw dependent, and you can go back to 2020, lost in the quarterfinal to who? Nadal. In 2021, lost in the round of 16 to who? Nadal. And then in 2023, injured. And then in 2022, he was injured. And then in 2023, he had that surprise loss to Altmaier. But it's also like he was in their transition period of having the new coach, changing the weaponry that he has in his bag. So it was kind of like, I'm not going to really consider that as much of a factor. But we haven't really actually seen the capabilities of Sinner at what he can do at the French Open. He is still so aggressive. And now what he has shown in 2024 is that he has put it all together as far as timing. He knows when to be aggressive. He knows when to let go. His serving is impeccable. His backhand is super strong. There's not really a weakness that we've seen from him. And because he's added so much variety into his game, I think it very much can translate into clay court season. So value on Sinner not being one of the favorites.
Yeah, and Zico getting it before it came down a little bit. So props in there. We'll see. The draw is going to be huge, obviously. And Kenny, there's some names on this list. There's one in particular I think you want to highlight right now.
Yeah, every show we've talked about it now. But no, I mean, the thing I would just continue to say about Sinner is I'm not sure of him on the clay. I mean, he won 72% of his matches on clay last year to 80% on a hard court, and the year before he had a 15-4 record to a 21-6 record on hard courts. And it's just, he's been a top 10 player on clay for sure. But I think we need to see, and the problem is once we do see, the odds are going to change. I think we need to see him win a little bit more on clay before we can say he's going to beat Daniel Altmaier in the second round. I think these odds are very wacky, and I think the only man that you can look at here once again is Alexander Zverev at +1700, the man who probably should have beaten Nadal for the fourth time ever at Roland Garros, if not for rolling that ankle. He loves a physical battle. He didn't quite love it as much last year at the U.S. Open when he was not really fully back from injury, and he played that five-hour match against Sinner before he played Alcaraz. But I do feel like this is the surface that he welcomes. He has always played very well on clay. It might actually wind up being his best surface. And, yes, it's not altitude clay like it is in Madrid, but just as good, really, as any of these other options outside of Carlos and Djokovic. And we've seen him now beat Carlos. He's come to the net and he's found a way to win that match. We've seen him beat Sinner. We have seen him almost beat Novak Djokovic at a Grand Slam when he was going for the calendar slam years ago in Queens. Uh-huh. And I mean, I just feel like if you want to bet on a guy that, I mean, there's questions, right? Runa and Alcaraz, Runa and Djokovic, there's familiarity there. You kind of feel like Djokovic wins that match. Medvedev as well has never really been able to figure out Djokovic aside from the one match he choked in the U.S. Open final in a Grand Slam. I feel very good about Zverev coming mm-hmm. down to these odds, going for a longer shot, and I still don't think he's priced correctly. No. I think he's one of the four best tennis players in the world right now. And you're getting him at +1700 to win this tournament. And the beauty of it is you're probably going to be able to get him at like +1200 even in the fourth round or the quarters because of the draw he's in. So I'm going to look at him to win his quarter. I'm going to look at him to win this tournament as well. And you didn't ask me for my thoughts on the women's draw, but if you're going to take a long shot, you might as well take a long shot. So Beatriz Hadasmaya at +3400 return is semifinalist a year ago. Yeah. Love the clay. And, maybe she can't beat Iga, but she came pretty close last year. She played a good match. So hasn't had a good season, though. That's why she's priced down there. But
yeah. I do want to make two additional comments about Yannick Sinner and why I'm potentially liking him a little bit more. Was he stellar last year on clay? No. But remember, if you look at the tournaments before that he did, he had a couple of withdrawals. So whether he was injured or not, the blisters were always an issue. Transitioning from his coaching style and his playing style, all of that comes into play as to whether what his record was for 2023 in general, at least in the first half of the season. And then also we haven't seen him prove himself on clay. We also had no idea what Carlos Alcaraz was going to look at on grass. And he just took off with that one. So I'm no longer putting that into any type of realm of I need to prove it first. Once you prove it, those odds are gone.
Yeah.
He's such a different player than from the second half of last summer to now, he's a completely different player. Like there's less mistakes. You know, there's more variety. Like he's added the drop shot. He's really good at the net. I think his movement's gotten better, just overall, just like almost a flawless player. So I do think he's moving into a clay season with a lot of momentum. And this is kind of like, with Alcaraz at Indian Wells, like scoop the number before you never get it again. I don't think you're ever going to get it again with Sinner. I kind of think that we should never see these three guys priced this way again.
And then Sinner also withdrew from Madrid Open. So we just don't have a clear picture of 2020. Yeah. You can't use 2023 as an indicator of his clay court potential.
He could have very well won Monte Carlo if he would have won that that chaotic match against Holger in the semifinals. That was all over the place. But again, hey, because he owns Andre Rublev, obviously. So there is that. But there's a lot here. Yeah.
I'm with Kenny, by the way, though. The board itself makes no sense. I think that Zverev should be fourth, and I think that Ruud should be fifth. Like to see the other guys above both of them is a little shocking to me.
Well, the only other one I was going to point out, Zico, is Tsitsipas 19-1 could be last. Funny thing is, Alcaraz owns him, and if Alcaraz is compromised, that could open the door because that's the guy he can't beat.
Yeah,
but if anybody else is out on clay, he could maybe win if he's looking good.
And he already looks so good here. Like he's already played two incredible matches here. So I do think he's finding his confidence.
The odds makers were just get something up. Nobody's paying attention anyway.
Nadal 470, though, is the other one where it's I know we're all going to, the lineage and everything, but he literally has not played, and we're putting him under 5-1. Fascinating. Yeah.
I wouldn't be touching Nadal. I did something for tennis.com the other day, kind of looking ahead to the French Open, and I don't see how you could play Nadal at this number. I would need 20-1 to consider Nadal.
He was 7-1, I don't know, what was it, 3 months ago? And that was a little interesting to me. And then all of a sudden now, he's Yannick Sinner now, pretty much. No, I don't think so. I do feel like he's gonna make the semi though. That's the thing. I think as much as we hate this number, it's probably accurate that he's going to go deep.
Potentially we may see Nadal any soon. I mean, he's in Barcelona. He's arrived in Barcelona. He's on the courts. So maybe he's doing a little warm up to see if he can play the tournament. And that could potentially be an indicator.
Yeah, no, he's good at jumping in the pool. He said that, 11 or 12 times or many times he's won it with his name on the court. The last question then would be, do you think there's going to be any significant movement from the time we get to the start of RG? Are you going to call your shot with any movement, players going up or drastically falling, or maybe a player we don't see on this list?
I mean, I do think Sinner is going to end up being plus 250 and plus 300, which is why I grabbed it at plus 450. I just think if he wins any of these tournaments over the next couple of weeks, he will move up significantly.
Yeah.
I agree there, and I think Tsitsipas and Zverev are going to move as well. Just because, as you said, one of you, that he's been really good at this tournament, and I think last year he didn't have a great season. I mean, he played a lot of matches and did win a lot of matches, but he was still pretty good on clay, and he has maintained a very solid record on clay. He's only lost 14 matches over the last three seasons on clay, and as you said, one of those was at the French Open last year against Alcaraz, who owns him. You know, a guy owns you when you hit a ball at his head for no reason, and can't beat him. He will not beat Carlos Alcaraz, but I do feel like he'll have some good results here on clay, because that's what we saw last year. It's been the same story for a few years now at Tsitsipas, where you're kind of really shocked at how bad he looks, and then he gets on clay and you're like, oh yeah, when he won Monte Carlo again, he repeated, what was it, 2 years ago? Did anyone, no one expected him to do that. Oh. And I didn't even remember that he won Monte Carlo the next year because he was so bad. He won a clay Masters last year. So that's what he does. He's always been an amazing clay player. And even though he hasn't had the seasons that we've hoped that he's had, he's still managed to just get all these ranking points and boost himself back into nearly the top five. on clay. So why can't he do it again? And like you said, last year he lost five times on clay. It was Alcaraz twice, Medvedev in Rome, which was the little dance match with that was bizarre. And it was,
yeah,
for all the fireworks that we hope we see when they play after their Miami fight when they were kids, they have played the weirdest matches over the last few years. Like they haven't been dramatic. They've just been very strange. Yeah. And like there was the one in Toronto where like, or maybe it was Cincinnati where Medvedev was like just not trying, or it was bizarre. So, you know, it's hard to read into any of those Medvedev Tsitsipas results at this point. But yeah, I think he's going to move down to like plus 1200.
Well, I think it's also a player that we haven't talked about. Klavanev, he's back. And I saw an interview with him where he was talking about how excited he is about clay season. Now he's actually looking forward to it because he knows that he is progressing each and every time. And he's made a couple of changes. One of the things that he did was change his racket strings. And he thinks that after switching that to softer strings, it's helped him generate a lot more depth with the shots on clay court tennis. Well, what happens when you're getting a lot more depth? He can play that baseline game that he wants to. So now not only does he have that on his side, but his confidence on clay has drastically just escalated over the last, two seasons. So his adaptability is there. He's developing now. We've talked about it all 2024 so far, that he's developing more of a well-rounded game, trying to add more of those Carrito Center shots. So now if he does, I'm also interested in maybe not to win the French Open, but to win his quarter. That could very much be up for grabs.
Big one with Zverev and Tsitsipas tomorrow. We'll see what we learn from that match and beyond. Appreciate everybody out there for watching or listening to Tennis Bets, the first of many on this road to Roland Garros, as we have a lot of clay court tennis to bring you and to discuss and to make some picks with our outstanding panel. So for Zachary Cohen, for Kenny Ducey, and for Pamela Maldonado, I'm your host, Mitch Michaels, saying thank you for watching. We'll check back in. More clay court tennis to follow on Tennis Bets, whether you watch on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, or listen on a podcast network. Thank you for enjoying the show, and we'll see you next time.